Our scripture today is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. We've been looking at images of God and how a holy, invisible God is able to relate to us sinful human beings. And we've seen that this is done through Jesus Christ. We've seen the image of God as creator. He created through His Son, Christ. We've seen the image of the loving Father. We know He's a loving Father because of Jesus Christ. The image we look at today, though, is one that is either ignored at times by believers or misunderstood by believers. But it's the image that we see in this parable that we read about from Jesus today, and it's the image we want to correct. And that's the image of God as master, of Lord, and Jesus is our master. What does that mean? Well, we're going to be taking a look at that now as we look at Luke 17, and I'll read verses 7 through 10, and this is Jesus speaking. Suppose one of you had a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Would he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, "Come along now and sit down to eat"? Would he not rather say, "Prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink. After that, you may eat and drink"? Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So, you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty." You ready to hear what this is all about? Good text. But first, we need to hand something out. So, yes, it's not just the kids today. So, Marcy and Andrew, if you could come up here and let's see. Whoops, Scotty, if you could come up. And Kyle, if you could come up, please. Maybe a couple of you go halfway back and then just, there you go. Hand these out kind of like the offering plates. You just let them pass down the row and just take a bag. Now, as you take the bag, though, here's my instruction, just like with the kids. Don't open it up. Don't open it. You'll have your opportunity, but don't open it up right away. Most people like M&Ms, but even if you don't, take one anyway. You'll always find someone else who would be glad to take your M&Ms. Now, this is an exercise in part in self-discipline, because you're going to have to hold on to these things for a while. Just don't open it up yet. But there is a purpose in this. Most of us do like M&Ms. They're a nice, sweet little treat. And there is a sweet irony to this story that I don't want us to miss. And that's why these are being passed out. We want to grab a hold of the sweet irony. I want to thank my helpers for passing this out. Good. And when you're done, if you could bring the rest back up here, make sure that the ushers get some. We want them to also enjoy the sweet irony. Thank you, Kyle. You got one for yourself. Hey, I need to take one too, so. Oh, all right, great.
We ran out.
You ran out. Great. All right. All right. Now, all of us have had times when we have had to do something simply out of duty. It may be as like you're an employee and your employer wants you to do something that's hard, or maybe it's something that is boring, something that you'd prefer not to do, but you do it anyway, out of duty, without thanks. Partly because you want to keep your job. But, I mean, you go ahead and you do it. Or what about the parent who is waking up in the middle of the night by a crying baby? And so they get up to do their duty. You feed her, you change her diaper, and then she goes back to sleep without even saying thank you. Meanwhile, you're left kind of like this the rest of the day, you know, tired. We all know, what it's like just to do something out of duty without being given thanks. And that's kind of what this parable seems to be about. It's kind of like a servant comes in, he has to do all this hard work, there's no thanksgiving, so do your duty. The whole parable that Jesus tells is really hinges on two questions. The first question is when he says this servant comes in from the field after working. In both questions, the implied answer is obviously no. Is the master going to say, well, now that you've worked hard in the field all day, you sit down and get something to eat before you help me? The answer is obviously no. The second question is the master going to thank the servant for doing their duty? And again, the implied answer is no. They've just done their duty. And then Jesus hits the punchline in verse 10. He says, so you also. Now he's talking to his disciples, and by extension, that includes you and me. We're his disciples. He says, likewise you, when you've done all that you've been told to do, just say, we are unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. That's a real winner, isn't it? So where is the sweet irony in this? Well, when I went through the Gospel of Luke a few years back, I didn't go like the first verse to the last. I took selections from Luke, you may remember. I didn't do this particular passage. That's not surprising. The president of InterVarsity Fellowship recently talked to five different well-known ministry leaders in our country who have accumulated 130 years of service. He asked those five leaders, have any of you ever preached on this passage from Luke, Luke 17, 7 to 10, or even heard it preached on? Out of 130 years of experience, they said never. So, guess what? You guinea pigs get to hear this preached. But it's not surprising. In years past, we're going back now into the 1800s, passages like this were used by slave owners and even by clergy to support institutional slavery. And so when we consider the impact that slavery's had on our country and the issues of racism, no wonder this might be a passage that's a little easier just to kind of jump over. But I would say this, just like last week we talked about the image of God as a loving Heavenly Father. And we talked about how, for many people, this is a hard image because their earthly fathers have been absent or abusive. They have a hard time. How can God be a loving Heavenly Father when they try to look through the eyes of their earthly father? But we said that rather than discard the image of God as a loving Father, we need to restore the right biblical picture that He is a loving Heavenly Father. He's not like earthly fathers. And what we need to do here is not sidestep the use of a master and servant, because technically the word here that's translated servant can also be translated slave. Instead of sidestepping that, we need to dig deeper and say, what's Jesus really wanting to say here? Jesus, when he told stories and parables, was not expecting every little word to be dissected. Each one has a main kingdom principle that he's bringing out. And what he did is, you read in the Bible, he would take common settings from that day and age that people were familiar with, whether from agriculture or from slavery. Because it so happened that slavery was very prominent in the Roman world, in the world in which they lived. He would take these natural pictures that people knew and then drew spiritual principles. But he was never endorsing institutional slavery. In fact, he did the opposite. Remember how he began his ministry? He quoted from Isaiah saying, the Messiah has come to set the captives free. Jesus is about liberation, not bondage. But he used a picture here that was familiar. And what is the basic point he is making? It's this. Our Father in heaven has anointed his Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord of all. He alone is master. And we who come to faith in him are his servants, and we are to do what he tells us to do. That's our duty. I'll just summarize that again. Our Father in heaven has anointed his Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord over all, and Jesus is our only master. And we are his servants, and we are to do what he tells us. That's our duty. So, where is the sweet irony? Don't get your M&Ms yet. Just keep, yeah, not yet. Here's the key. Here's the linchpin of this whole thing. It comes in Jesus' summary verse 10. He says, you also, when you've done everything you've been told to do, just say, we are unworthy servants. Now think of that word, unworthy servants. On the surface, it seems like a put down. You mean I've slaved in the field all day long, then I come home and have to make my master a meal, and I'm called unworthy? That pricks the pride. But think for a moment. On the surface, it may look bad, but actually, it's the rich word in this whole thing. There's where the sweet irony is. Think for a moment. Let's step back from our pride and our egocentrism, our self-focus. And who created us? Who gives us everything we need? Our food, our clothing, shelter, purpose in life, everything ultimately comes from God. But far more than that, who sent His Son to give us eternal life, forgiveness of sins, restoring us to the love of the Father, give us the blessings of hope and love and joy? All that we have in Christ, it's all from God by His, we saw it with the kids, grace, all by His grace. We have not earned or deserved one thing that God has ever given us. It's all by His grace. That's what the unworthiness is about. Now, this is why it's so important. We've mentioned before that we always like to interpret a passage in terms of its content, but also by what the rest of Scripture says, by its context and the rest of Scripture. And so we do so here. It's interesting to see what Luke does. Right after this teaching of Jesus, this story about the servant and just doing his duty, an unworthy servant, the very next story that Luke inserts at this point is a story about when Jesus was walking along on the border between Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and there were 10 lepers. 10 lepers that called out to him. And it's interesting. What do they say? Jesus, Master. Master, they said, have mercy on us. And so Jesus gave them an order. He said, go and show yourself to the priest. Now, in order to be restored to society, anyone who had been diagnosed with leprosy in those days had to have a priest give a written okay that they've been cleansed. So Jesus tells them to go and show themselves to a priest. And these 10, they obeyed. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, was overcome with gratitude. And he ran back to Jesus, fell at his feet, and he worshiped him. Now think about this. The Scripture points out that that one was a Samaritan. And the Jews and Samaritans were at odds. But the other 9 were obviously Jews. But Jesus healed them all. The Samaritan, talk about feeling like an unworthy servant. He comes back, and what happens when we recognize that everything we have is by God's grace? Then we recognize how grateful we are. Life He gives us and everything else. It brings forth gratitude, praise, obedience. Can you imagine that Samaritan leper as he came back to give thanks to Jesus, possibly thinking, well, I'd never want to serve you. I'm going to run my own life. No, he's filled with gratitude. No wonder Jesus asked the kind of the haunting question, where are the 9? They had received so much grace. They were healed. They didn't deserve it. Did they think, well, we deserve this? If so, they were in the wrong mindset. It was all by God's grace that they were healed. And the one, although all were physically healed, only the one was made whole and restored. Well, just go to the very next chapter in Luke, Luke 18. Jesus tells an incredible little parable. And he says there was 2 people that went up to the temple of God to pray. One was a Pharisee. Now, a Pharisee was a religious leader. They were highly respected for following the law of God. The other was a tax collector. They were despised because they often used the Roman system to cheat people for their own advantage. And these two went up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like these other people. I'm not an adulterer, a cheat, a liar. I'm not like this tax collector sinner over here. And I thank you that I follow the religious rituals. I'm faithful and all that. It's kind of like he was saying, I deserve your thanks, Master. Look how good a life I'm living. Meanwhile, here's the tax collector who knows he's a sinner. He doesn't deserve a thing, so he just cries out, oh, have mercy on me, O Lord. And what does Jesus say? Here's the surprise. I imagine it surprised the people who first heard this. He says, it is the tax collector that was justified before God. He was the one that knew he was an unworthy servant, but he received grace and mercy because he humbled himself. Now you're beginning to see maybe where the sweet irony comes from. We are unworthy servants. For what happens is we're not to boast about what we've done before God as though we are entitled for Him to do things for us. I appreciate Stacy's prayer right here. You know, from the song we sang earlier, blessed be you, O Lord, when the sun is shining, when things are great, but blessed are you also in the time of suffering, because it all comes through your willing gate because you know what's best and what you are doing. This world is not about us. It's about God and His glory. And as unworthy servants, we are to have the attitude of that Samaritan leper. You know, wow, Lord, what you've done for me. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for showing your love. Thank you for bringing peace where there was distress. Thank you for all these blessings. I haven't deserved one thing, but Lord, you've given them as I've come to you. For friends, what a master we have. Think of the master we have. We don't have a master like any earthly master. We have a master who took on the robe of humility and went to the cross and died in our place so that we might live. We have a master that was able to overcome sin and death and rose from the grave to give us eternal life. We have a master that gives us a new heart, gives us hope, gives us direction, gives us purpose in life. That's the master we serve as unworthy servants. And so, what do we take home from this? Let me suggest three things. Perspective, challenge, and grace. Perspective is this. All of Jesus' parables and stories have to do with the kingdom of God. Jesus has brought God's kingdom, His rule, and we enter the kingdom by our faith in Christ as children. We come into the kingdom. And once we're in His kingdom, let's remember, this kingdom trumps everything in our life. It trumps our family. It trumps our work. It trumps our goals. It trumps our government. It trumps everything. Yes, we are to know the kingdom principles and then apply them in each of these arenas. Apply them at home. Apply them at work. But remember, we are kingdom servants, unworthy servants of Christ, and we have been given a mission here on earth. And that mission is to represent Jesus Christ in word and deed, to proclaim Him wherever we are. That's our mission. And that's the perspective Jesus wanted to give here in this parable. He says, remember, you belong to me now. I'm the master. You are to do what I tell you to do because you're on mission. And you're an unworthy servant, but I have given you grace and called you. That leads us to that second take home, the challenge. We are to do what Jesus calls us to do. You know, one of the things this parable makes very clear is that it takes away any bargaining that we do with God. We are not in the position to say, God, I'll meet you 50%. The servant did not come back and say, okay, I'm glad to work for you, master, in the field, but I'm not going to make your dinner. That's not an option for us. And so it's not an option when we look at what God tells us to do in His Word. We are not in the position to say, I really like what you say here in Luke, but I'm not too happy about James, so I'm just going to kind of forget it. No, it's the whole Word of God that we are given. And some of this Word is hard. Now, some of it's easy. One of the areas I thought is, I am glad, and this, he calls us to worship him and to praise him and thank him like we've been doing. And to me, and I think most of you, it's an upper. It is a lifted, we are lifted up. We are encouraged. We are blessed when we worship the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for asking us to worship you. That really sets us right and it blesses us. But there are also things he says that are really hard to do. Hard, like when we've come in from the field, we've worked all day, and then we have to prepare the master meal. There are things that are not easy. When Jesus tells us to forgive those that hurt us, that's not easy. We actually sang that. It was in one of our earlier songs. We forgive as we are forgiven. It's one thing to sing it. It's another thing to do it. It's not easy when we've been hurt and wronged by other people. And then Jesus says, I want you to love your enemies. I want you to forgive them. Wow. Really, Lord? That's what the Master says. It's not easy when Jesus says, you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve God and money. And we live in a materialistic culture where money is God in ways that we may not even be aware of. That we're pulled by the idol of money. And Jesus says, no, I need to be in charge. And one of the ways he does that is he calls us to give tithes and offerings. That's not easy. Because money has a hold on us. We have to really trust that the Lord will provide and to be able to give 10% and beyond. That's what he says. And we can go on and on. There are things that the Word of God says that are not easy to do. But the Lord says, this I want you to do. Trust me. And yet the irony is that when we actually obey, even in the hard things, we find something that even though we are not looking for rewards, we're not looking for thanks, God rewards us when we're not looking for rewards. In John 15, read that carefully. Jesus says, when you obey me, you will experience my Father's love. You will experience the fullness of joy. Obedience actually brings us blessings. And I can tell many stories, both personally and many of you can too. When we've done the hard thing, when we've said, money, you're not going to be my idol. When I'm going to choose to forgive, even though this is hard to forgive. Then we become very blessed because God does something in our heart. And that leads us to the third thing, and that's grace. That's because grace. The Lord never asks us to do something that he will not give us the grace to do it. If we humble ourselves and say, I can't do this on my own, but I believe that you will give me grace to do it. He will. And that's the beautiful thing. God gives us grace. Remember last week when we saw about the Father's love, 1 John chapter 3, that wonderful word John used. He said, the Father's love is lavished on us. Love that word. It's just like a water fountain that just keeps flowing. The Father's love just keeps flowing. Well, Paul uses the same word in Ephesians 1. He says God's grace is lavished on us. It just keeps flowing. And so when we step out in obedience as his unworthy servant and say, yes, I will obey and do this hard thing, his grace enables us to do it, and we are blessed. And so, friends, when we have that perspective that we are kingdom members through faith in Christ and unworthy servants, here to serve him, and we are willing to do the hard things that he asks us to do as well as the easy things and trust that he will give grace to do it, that's when the sweet irony becomes so clear to us that that is a wonderful blessing from God. Now, before I have you open up your M&M packets, and we'll do that, I want us to first spend a moment in prayer of confession. Have there been other things or other peoples or persons in your life that have been your master instead of Jesus as Lord? Do you need to repent of pride, thinking, well, God, I deserve this. I expect you to do this, rather than humble yourself like the tax collector and say, Lord, I need your mercy and grace. Let's take a moment before the Lord now and just in quiet repentance. Let's confess anything in our heart the Spirit brings up where we have not honored Jesus alone as master of our lives. Father in heaven, I thank you for the whole word of God that you've given. The word which by the tool of the Holy Spirit becomes a searchlight to our hearts. And I ask your forgiveness for my self-centeredness, pride and unbelief. I know you hear the prayers of all of us here. Lord, we just dump all this at the foot of your cross. It's all by your grace, all by your work of shedding your blood that we are restored to the Father's love and forgiven. Thank you for the wonderful promise and assurance that when we confess our sins, you forgive us our sins. And we stand forgiven. We thank you for that. And we stand ready now to serve you as your unworthy servants, but your very grateful unworthy servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, is there anyone that did not get one of these M&M packets? Anyone not get one? Okay. Now, this is not saying, yeah, I already got mine, but maybe I can get another. No, then you'd have to repent all over again, so we're not going to do that. But I want you to take this now, and this is an easy quiz. Guess what letters on each of these little candies? Okay, it's not a W. It's maybe a little vague there, but we all know it's an M. What does M stand for? Master. Master. So here's what I want us to do. And I'm now again, if you're allergic to chocolate or this is not your thing, you can do this in your heart because ultimately it's a heart that matters. But I'm going to invite us to eat these M&Ms as an expression of recommitment to Christ as master of our life. But a reminder for not only now, but whenever we eat M&Ms, that he is master, and there's a sweet irony that we are blessed when we consider ourselves unworthy servants of all he gives us. Okay? Let's partake. If we are ready to recommit, the sweet irony. And that will be a reminder for me a lot because I do a lot of M&M eating with my world-famous trail mix I make with M&Ms. Let's pray together. Jesus, Master, thank you for that sweet irony that it's when we fully surrender to you that we most experience the fullness of your grace and your blessings. As we go forth now to serve you, because we go forth to serve you in this world, may we have that kingdom perspective. We belong to you. We are here as your servants. And may we do what you call us to do. May we read your word. May we obey your word. May we serve you gladly, thankfully, and with expectancy, because you are the one that goes before us. And we thank you that the byproduct of our surrender and humility is the empowerment of your grace and your spirit working your blessings into our lives and through us to others. We look forward to serving you in this coming week. We pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.